The Senate voted to pass a 121-page bill through an expedited process called emergency certification. The bill that was introduced Wednesday covers a wide range of issues, from education to election law to warehouse ownership requirements. And this also included earmarks directing millions of dollars towards various nonprofit groups and municipalities. It basically passed along party lines, except we did see one Republican senator join all Senate Democrats voting in favor of the legislation, and that was State Senator Tony Huang, who joins us now. And Senator Huang, thank you for getting up early and talking about this. Why did you vote for it?
Well, first, Melissa, thanks for having me on, and always enjoy talking to you. And I appreciate giving the opportunity. But let me be clear. I was extremely frustrated and want to clearly state my strong opposition to how disrespectful and blatant the legislative process that was used to advance, quote, an emergency certified measure that encompassed nearly 100 sections, 50 legislative concepts and bills that span appropriations, education, pension offsets, and policy provisions that were not raised in public hearing this session. And we talked quite often about transparency, accountability, and legislative due process. A quote comes up to me often by Lord John Acton that said, power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. This emergency certification, which is under our statute, is intended for dire, time-sensitive situations,
yep.
Budgets, critical decision-making.
None of this fell under that, Senator Huang.
Right?
Yeah, this is
nearly 100 sections of omnibus measures, a wide related, unrelated policy proposals, and some of it did have hearings in years past.
Sure.
But it didn't pass the muster. It didn't pass the threshold. But now what you said earlier is this is a shot across the bow demonstrating the one-party rule arrogance. It really reinforces the fact that election results matter.
So Senator Huang,
in the past elections has really reinforced the power and the arrogance
right.
of the majority party.
Agreed. Then why did you agree with it?
That are angry and talked about the national politics, about one-sided politic control, mm-hmm. the arrogance of power. Well, you know what? They've had an impact in their election results to give that arrogance of power
right.
and absolute power to the state level.
Agreed.
And it's really important for people to understand this process. And if you can hear it in my tone and frustration, it really is so disrespectful.
I agree with you. So then why did you agree to pass it?
So I think it's really important. As a state senator, I'm asked to vote on massive multi-section provisions, right? And for me, I represent my district and the priorities that are important for my community. It's not about Republican, Democrat. It's about me being a representative for the people in my district that elected me. So for me, this provision, many of the provisions here are important to my district, such as nearly $600,000 of education construction funding for Mill Hill Elementary School, and extending and the pause of the force enforcement of the racial imbalance statutory requirement within our public schools till 2030, because this language will alleviate school mandated redistricting for all of our students within Fairfield that are impacted by this legislation. This allows a delay to be able to facilitate, and it is important for student to not disrupt student learning and their social emotional ability. The other factor that led me to create and support it was that we're going to create a 15-member working group to address and raise awareness about anti-Semitism in our public schools. And why is it necessary? You know, we have seen hate crimes against the Jewish community in Connecticut up nearly 560% since 2020. And Connecticut ranks ninth in anti-Semitic incidences per capita in the 2024. So these are provisions that are extremely important to communities that I represent. and I couldn't throw out the baby with the bathwater.
So, right.
Let me be clear.
Okay.
It really, and we offered amendments, Melissa. That's the key. In a legislative process, we can offer to make bills better. We Senate Republicans offer amendments that look to cut income tax, to lower working middle-class residents, to eliminate occupational licensing fees. We also offered another amendment to eliminate income tax on Social Security income.
So really quickly, though, Senator, in this bill you offered those amendments, or you're saying in general, because I know what the Republican Party is trying to put forward. You're talking about in this bill you tried to offer those amendments?
Melissa, we offer the amendments on this bill to make the bill better, to address some of the critical concerns that were raised.
And what happened?
And it was all voted down along party lines. And another amendment that was called to create an expedited resolution to what was happening with the Akuri and Eversource Regional Water Authority purchase, in which PURA has to make a decision
right
by March 20th or so. This was an emergency that we could have articulated and protected nearly 24, 25 communities that would be impacted by this.
Is that included in the bill?
No, because
so that's
majority,
a separate thing. So that's not an emergency. That's funny. Okay, so that's not an emergency, but like basically everything else in there couldn't wait until the end of the legislative session in May.
So
that's funny to me. Obviously, I'm not laughing.
It's not funny because it's disrespectful. And what's frustrating is you're speaking to me because I am the lone Republican who made that decision. The fact that no Democrat looked at these amendments to lower cost and financial impact on residents, to address a loophole that was passed in a special session,
mm-hmm,
in an emergency certification nearly 2 years ago, where we didn't have proper vetting,
mm-hmm,
proper public hearing. When I sit on the floor, it felt like deja vu all over again when we make bad policy because they can.
Right. Well,
the
and so, so Senator Huang, I want to make something super clear in this conversation. We have Senator Tony Huang here. I think that you actually are doing something that a lot of lawmakers on both sides of the aisle are not willing to do. I really want to give you credit because honestly, what you just said makes a lot of sense. So you had things in this bill that were more important to pass than to just say, we're not going to stand for the process. And I think that's something that should be applauded, quite frankly. The fact that you're like, okay, I'm not happy with the way that this was done. I'm very against the way that this was done. And I'm trying to show you that, hey, I'm willing to compromise. I'm willing to say, I will pass this bill because there's a lot of good stuff in it. However, you guys also have to acknowledge that there's a lot in here that we don't have to be doing right now, or there are ways we could be improving it. And they chose not to do that. So I think the fact that you are in some regard a lone wolf for the Republican Party, and I'd say even for just lawmakers in general in Connecticut, I say kudos to you for doing that. Having said that, though, to me, do you agree that this sets a precedent, though? Not your actions at all, but what is happening in Hartford? Do you feel it sets a precedent, though, that if we could just pass a 121-page bill under emergency certification now, what is even the point of a legislative session? I mean, to what end? To what end does this continue to happen? Where, okay, so you've got maybe the majority of the bill is not that bad, although I'm hearing otherwise, but to what end does this continue to happen? I'm not saying the onus falls on you, but do you agree that this just sets a precedent that they could just keep doing this?
It is a shocking and an arrogant display of power. And they are buoyed by election results in which people wrapped up in the emotion of national politics. And we've heard in the discussions that occur on policy debates where invariably everything revolves back to Trump, to the National Party, while at the same time we're not addressing and responsibly evaluating the issues, the positions, the implications of these policies. But Melissa, you're absolutely right. My frustration and disappointment, you can hear it in my voice, is the fact that I'm extremely concerned that this is the first shot across the bow, that they have the votes. They have the majority. But what was even more alarming was no good individual saw the policy for its worth in the amendments that we proposed, that every single Democrat voted along party lines on the amendments that we offered. If I'm a lone wolf and I'm open to criticism, when you called this morning, I was happy to defend my vote, because in understanding the importance of funding our schools.
We got a few more minutes with State Senator Tony Huang. And Senator Huang, I know that was kind of a long rant at the end, but that is my biggest concern here. And again, I have not been able to go through the entire 121-page bill. It's a lot in there. The earmarking really concerns me. I think that's completely unfair that some people are being, or I should say some entities are being prioritized over others, typically in the Hartford area compared to the rest of the state. So obviously, I don't love that. I'm hearing from CCM. Joe DeLong and I were talking yesterday. There's a huge concern in this bill, apparently, over, he was talking about pension offset language, which is something that across Connecticut, on a bipartisan basis, they're very concerned about our taxes going up with this bill. So what would be, we're going into now a second day of this. It's going to be discussed in the House. It is most likely going
Melissa,
to pass.
After this break, I had a moment to settle down. I think in reflection, I think you said it very well, that we're having public hearings right now in committees of cognizance addressing critical issues. And these public hearings afford communities, residents, interest groups, advocacy groups like CCM, like our residents, like parents, like businesses, to be able to offer their viewpoint and have a input as a stakeholder to offer viewpoints and have elected representatives debate them in committee. This action, literally, as you said it, very, very powerfully, why have those sessions? Why have committee meetings if the leadership with the majority can say, we're going to do it this way? It is an arrogance of power that really reflects a absolute corruption and arrogance. But I think the most important thing is when we disagree on the democratic process and when we disregard it, this is forgetting that this is a government for the people, by the people. And when legislation and representative process is ignored, the public trust is diminished in government. People have already lost trust in saying that they don't have a say. You've seen that with people, and this reaffirms power. And for those people that want to rail against the national government, yes, they are open to challenge. But the reality is the impact closer to home is much more relevant, and we have ignored that abuse of power in a local area, and that is done by the Democratic supermajority.
So let me ask you this, though, Senator Huang, because, again, I do understand that there are parts of this bill that you very clearly explained will help your community, and you're for your community that you represent, and I think that's great. That's what you should do. That's what lawmakers should do. But I'm curious, when you saw that every amendment was shot down and you realized that this was never going to be a compromise, it was only going to be a power grab, you still voted for it.
I can't throw out the baby with the bathwater. My first duty and responsibility is to the representatives and the voters of my district. These bill components that I articulated, funding for education construction, and to be able to protect our children from forced redistricting that would impact their learning process, their social-emotional dynamics, and disrupt their lives on the heel of learning loss that occurred due to COVID, and we saw the impact on them. For me, I just could not do that. And when I looked at the ability to create a working group to address hate crimes and to really make a positive contribution, those are important. But I can count countless other bills that could have gone through the process, and it wasn't an emergency. It wasn't urgent. Some of those with proper vetting, proper input, could have been a good bill. But nevertheless, we saw the arrogance of power. We saw the shortcut to be able to create solutions. But the problem with those shortcuts as we saw with the Ikurian decision that was a special session urgently called as an emergency, we're trying to correct it. And the newspapers are saying it's too little too late. Well, the impact of these policies that were rushed through by the arrogance of power and disrespecting the representative voice of the people are going to be laws that are going to impact all of us. And that is disrespectful. That is arrogant. That's bad democracy.
And by the way, it's not an emergency. Just to put that very bluntly, everything in this bill did not need to happen before the session wraps up in May. Senator Wong, I want to appreciate you for coming on. I want to tell you I appreciate you coming on and talking about this. And we certainly are going to continue diving into this legislation, getting reaction certainly from both sides of the aisle.